A new year means a fresh set of priorities for state chief information officers as defined by the National Association of State Chief Information Officers. The top two priorities for 2022, cybersecurity and digital government, remained at the top of the list, and there will be increased attention on broadband identity and access management, as well as workforce, according to the new list. Let's break it all down now with Megan Sullivan, the Cloud Strategic Growth Leader for Deloitte's Government and Public Services Practice, and Thomas Beck, the Leader of Government Cloud Engineering for the practice as well. Deloitte is the sponsor of today's show. Thomas, Megan, thanks for being here. So it's a new year, and there's a new fresh list of top 10 priorities for state CIOs to dive into. Megan, what does this list tell you about what CIOs are going to have on their plate this year?
It's a great list. I think I have two observations overall. One, the list is remarkably consistent year over year. And I think this consistency is reflective of the ongoing priorities and the core tenets of the role of CIOs, rather than just one-off initiatives or technologies which come and go. However, I think that consistency is a bit misleading because there are shifts in what states are doing with some of these topics and or why they're on the list and a priority for the states. For example, cloud has been in the top five for at least the last 6 years, but cloud priorities in 2017 were very different than what we see in 2022. For example, we've seen a shift from if cloud to when cloud to how do I do it? And now we're looking at questions around what's next for cloud for me and how do I make it better? The second observation is even with this consistency in the list, there's a theme around these priorities that mirror the conversations we've been having with the states. So in the initial stages of the pandemic, states were scrambling to support the unprecedented surge in demand for their services. New programs they had to stand up in weeks instead of typical months or years, a new working model for their employees, and a shift from digital government being a nice to have to being a necessity for us to weather this pandemic. But now in 2022, we see many of these priorities as filling in the gaps that still exist from the tremendous work the states did over the past year plus during the pandemic. Second, realizing these digital and workforce changes are here to stay and the technologies need to be sustainable to support them. And third, the state CIOs are taking a more enterprise view within their state for things like security, cloud, identity, access management, and architecture. So overall, I'm excited about what this list shows. I think it reflects the reality of what state CIOs are thinking about, working on every day, and talking to each other about. So we're excited for what 2022 holds for these states.
Megan, it's such a good point to talk about the fact that the list has been pretty consistent, but the moment that we're in is so much different, right? Thomas, I want to come to you here. I mean, what do you think 2022 has in store for these state CIOs?
Yeah, thanks, Cenk. I think Megan summarized things pretty well. I see three trends here specifically, especially in the top five of the list. Firstly, we do have some new entrants. Legacy modernization came in at number five and wasn't on the list at all last year. Secondly, there are clearly some areas where federal moves, including enhanced federal funding, is prominent in CIOs' minds, such as broadband, which has moved up to number three. And then most importantly, as Megan highlighted, we continue to see a focus on these perennial favorites that are especially top of mind as state government doubles down on citizen services such as cyber, digital and cloud. So a lot of repeat candidates. I think we're in for an amazing year in 2022.
You know, as you both sort of touched on there, I mean, cloud definitely remains a massive priority for state CIOs. It may not come in at number one, right? Cybersecurity always seems to take that spot, but it is so essential for state CIOs going forward, specifically, as Megan said there, with the multi-cloud as an emerging focus. Thomas, what are you hearing in your conversations with state CIOs when it comes to multi-cloud?
Very topical question. Deloitte was honored to host a roundtable late last year to discuss multi-cloud with state CIOs and their representatives from across 12 states. Three message themes emerged from these conversations, Jake. First, cloud portability and choice is definitely top of mind for CIOs. They want the option to select the best cloud for them, be it public, private, or hybrid, that suits their specific system needs. And they want portability of these workloads across the clouds they select. Secondly, there is a desire to evolve risk-sharing frameworks, as they put it. That is, risk isn't binary, and there needs to be a mechanism, a framework, to address understanding consuming agency risk profiles and how this is shouldered across both the agencies and central IT. And then finally, what we heard, that there's a great deal of financial and fiscal complexity in managing cloud service consumption, especially across multiple clouds. And in that case, where we are applying FinOps processes and expertise in financial accounting to address these clients with working with our state clients as they address these financial complexity challenges across multiple clouds.
And Megan, I want to bring you in here as well. I mean, what when you think about cloud, you talked about the rise of multi-cloud and sort of the cloud journey that states have been on over the last couple of years. But how is cloud going to fit into the other big picture focuses for state CIOs this year?
Absolutely. I think in 2022, it's safe to say cloud is now a proven technology in our state government space. It works. We know it'll work in our specific environment with our specific security and data needs. So the push now is to say, for these CIOs, how do they take those large, the oldest systems that have been sitting there that they very intuitively didn't want to start their cloud journey with? And how do they get those modernized and migrated in a way that is least disruptive to the business and has the right focus on risk? But more importantly, I think the CIOs are focused on how do they take advantage of the cloud? We've migrated an application. Great. Now, how do I use its capabilities to increase the automation, to increase self-service, to decrease the routine tasks that their state staff need to accomplish every day so they can focus on higher value tasks every day? So those focus areas, I think, are going to be important as the CIOs think through what's next for cloud. But the other topic we continue to hear is the state CIO saying, with this new adoption of cloud, and we really saw an acceleration of it during the early stages of the pandemic and at the state government level, with this adoption, what's the role of the state CIO? What should I be leaving to the agencies versus where do we get economies of scale and where do we get better risk management and cybersecurity best practices when we do this at an enterprise level? And I think that's going to be an intriguing conversation throughout the year with states.
Megan, I want to dive a little deeper into something that you sort of invoked in the middle of your answer there, and that was, of course, cybersecurity. It's no secret that cyber is pretty much always top of mind and the top priority and focus for state CIOs. But Megan, how does that cybersecurity effort and those initiatives factor into what you're hearing from these folks as they talk through their plans for the upcoming year?
Right. As you mentioned, it's at the top of the list. It's been at the top of the list for at least the last 6 years for a reason. There's a lot to do, and states have limited resources. One topic that comes up over and over again right now is states saying, what should I be doing and preparing for this upcoming federal grant money around cybersecurity? So as part of the Infrastructure Act, there is a state and local cybersecurity act contained in it. It makes significant grant funding available to state and local governments for cybersecurity. So the number one question and the number one topic for state CIOs right now is, what are they going to do with that money? Before the money question, though, comes, how do I get access to that money? So we're encouraging all of our states to get a planning committee together right now, develop the cybersecurity plan, and get it submitted to approval. because although the deadline isn't until 2023, the needs exist today, and the sooner they can start thinking through how are we going to take advantage of this federal funding to address some of the state and local concerns and real needs around cybersecurity, the better equipped they'll be. So I think that is the conversation that's going to take us through most of 2022.
And Thomas, what are you hearing? What are you thinking when it comes to what folks are doing with the cybersecurity issues right now?
Yeah, I think, Jake, as you mentioned, the intersection of cloud and cyber, identity and access management, software supply chain management, risk management frameworks are just prevalent topics of conversation, which is why cyber landed at number one again this year. I think it's worth mentioning here, Jake, that Deloitte as a company we have a single government practice. That is, our state government and federal government practices are one. I highlight this because there's an incredible amount of synergy that we get from a one government perspective as we address cyber issues and help governments and state CIOs understand how to address those issues. For an example, when the conversation with state CIOs turns to StateRAMP, which is an interesting topic of conversation these days, our federal government-oriented staff and capabilities bring the experience of having gone through GSA's FedRAMP process, accreditation and ATO processes, to help states understand how those standards and how those controls apply to states. Likewise, when we talk about software supply chains and software supply chain security, we bring extensive experience operating with software supply chain in the DoD. It's immediately applicable to states. Obviously, that the reverse holds true as well. And there are some amazing lessons learned we have from operating with states and state CIOs that we apply to our federal clients. So that sharing, information sharing, and practice sharing for cyber across both states and federal is really immensely helpful to making sure that government writ large is addressing these cyber challenges.
Another piece that both of you mentioned earlier was legacy modernization. Again, it was on this year's list. It wasn't on last year's list, but it's been on the list in years past. Thomas, what are you hearing from folks when it comes to legacy modernization? How do you see that shaping conversations this year?
Yeah, I think legacy modernization has been a hot topic years in the making. It's been exacerbated by COVID retirements, the Great Resignation's impact on the availability of COBOL and other resources necessary to maintain these systems, let alone further being stressed by systems being tasked to do things they were never designed to do, like issuing pandemic unemployment. So there's a lot of stress put on the system. We went through the process of acquiring and enhancing legacy modernization capabilities more than 10 years ago now as part of our App Mod studio in Austin. The studio has been pretty instrumental in a 1-2 punch. That is, one, modernize, and then two, migrate those modernized applications to the cloud. And our clients have been highlighting these successes with modernize and migrate on stage at a number of cloud conferences last year. I think, Jake, with major CSPs very recently getting into the legacy modernization game, we expect to see a pretty significant focus on this two-step transformation and modernization in the cloud in the year coming.
And Megan, let's wrap it up with your perspective on modernization. Maybe tell us a little bit about what everything we've covered today sort of means strategically for CIOs as they plan for the year.
Yeah, Jake, I think my head is spinning from the wide variety of priorities and challenges that are facing the CIOs. But with that being said, I think this means the CIOs need to figure out how to build on the progress they've made to date. And that sounds obvious, but what I would say is the progress to date includes the progress they've made over the last year or so, which may not have been on a strategic roadmap. So for example, if a state rolled out some automated chatbot to deal with the huge spike in unemployment questions, that's progress. How do they build upon that? How do they take what they learned in that, in essence, what turned out to be a pilot for some of them? How do they take what they've learned on those those steps over the past year or so and incorporate that into their roadmap moving forward. So my advice in short would be, don't go backwards. The progress they've made from a technology perspective is instrumental, and they should really embrace that. And along those lines, I would say the state CIO is really thinking through how they're going to continue to socialize the role of IT with their stakeholders. Because as we've seen, we all see the role of IT in supporting everything that's happened at a state government level over during the pandemic to date. And this continues. These workforce challenges, the stability the programs need, the scalability as demand spikes or then falls, the security, and those security requirements continue to evolve and change every day, and the level of automation that it can play with some of these technologies in 2022 that maybe were still a question 5 years ago. So as we think through where CIOs go for the coming year, we're encouraging them to take a look back as to what they've accomplished, even things that weren't on the roadmap, and really figure out how they go from where they're starting the year as opposed to where they thought they should be at this point in time.
Megan, Thomas, thank you so much for being here. It's been a great chat.
Thanks.
Thank you.